It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Build something you can be proud of. There's something incredibly satisfying about learning something new and actually watching your progress build over time. That's what I love about Rosetta Stone. You don't have to dive in for hours. You start small, fit lessons into your day, and suddenly you're understanding more than you thought you would. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, and their immersive, intuitive method really stands out. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists and no feeling lost. You learn naturally, starting with words, building to phrases, and then full sentences, without English translations. So it actually sticks. Plus, Rosetta Stone offers 25 languages, from Spanish and French to German and Japanese, all designed for long-term retention. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners of this podcast can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Twerking.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, here we go. Thursday podcast for you. Al, what is up?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. The other day we were talking about something. I got a big response as far as people DMing me. We talked about somehow we got into when we were in like grade school or junior high or even high school, how some people had nunchucks.
Oh, yeah.
And Chinese stars.
Yes. We did this yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
And we're like, where did we get these from? And a lot of people reached out to me to tell me where they used to get their
Army Navy store.
No one mentioned that.
Okay.
I got a lot of flea markets were very big.
Interesting.
People said the flea markets had them.
Okay.
And then other people said sometimes the self-defense, like if you, where you would take self-defense classes.
They would sell them there?
They would sell them there as well.
Huh.
Were you a big flea market goer when you were younger?
No. No, not at all.
Now, you worked at a flea market. You did sell
some jackets there. Yes.
At a flea market.
Yes, I did. I would get damaged jackets.
Yeah.
That I would. So when Members Only was winding down, my dad was the CFO at the time, when they were winding down, they were sold essentially. There was an overstock of clothing. And I remember him telling me one time that he had these guys that would come in and sift through all the damaged clothing, and they would pick out the good stuff, and they would go sell it, and they sold it really cheap, meaning the company to the person. I'm like, well, can I do that? I was just driving at the time, and he's like, yeah, if you want to. He goes, but you got to pay for it. I'm like, that's fine. What are we talking about? And I remember him telling me, he's like, well, you know, like depending upon the damage, like you could get leather coats for like $40, and you could get shirts for $5. I was like, you're kidding. So one day with him, I went in. And they had a huge warehouse, and you would go in this back room for the overflow for the damages. And the amount of clothing that was back there was insane. And you would literally go through it. Like some had cuts in it, you know, razor blades when they opened the boxes. Other jackets, I'm like, what is wrong with this coat? He goes, oh, and he would show me, there was a stitching out of place. I'm like, no one's going to see that. He goes, yeah, but I can't sell it. So I would wind up, I started with shirts and leather jackets. These leather jackets, I believe, were retailing for $250 at JCPenney. I was selling them for $90. And I remember guys coming up to me at the table, and they would be like, these hot? I'm like, what? They hot? Where'd you steal them from? I'm like, no. I bought them. No, you didn't buy them. People didn't understand. Those jackets flew to where I'm like, I'm going to make a business of this. Like, this is fun. And it was until they were sold and couldn't do it anymore.
Would you tell the people that there were imperfections in it, which is why it was cheaper?
Yes. And in some cases, I would show them the imperfection because I was so confident that the imperfection was literally nothing that they would laugh it off. I don't know that I did that with everybody, but the people that were really curious, like where I got them, thought I stole them, I would show them why they were the price they were.
Yeah. I used to go to a lot of flea markets. And there would always be people that were different. Like some person might be the sunglasses person.
Okay.
And they'd have all these sunglasses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I always assumed they were stolen also.
Well, I don't think, so having been around that enough, I only did that for about a year. It wasn't very long. I did meet a whole bunch of people. I met a lot of memorabilia people, but I also met like sunglass people, T-shirt people. The sunglass stuff, a lot of stuff was imitation.
Yeah. And so it had like Ray-Ban on it, but it wasn't Ray-Bans.
Yes. And that you had to be careful with that stuff, which is probably why people were so curious about what I was doing, which I totally understand. But I do think in a lot of those cases, you're getting phonies.
What was weird is there was a time, this was very hot at the flea markets in the 80s, they would sell sunglasses, foldable sunglasses. So the sunglasses would fold completely and then they'd be in a little leather bag.
Yeah.
And then that never caught on. Like people had them in the beginning, like, oh, these are cool foldable glasses. I slide in my pocket. And then that just, like, you can't buy foldable glasses now.
I'll give you another one that I thought was really cool that I haven't, I'm sure they are out there, but I haven't seen them since. Someone bought me, I think my parents bought me for, I think it was my freshman year of high school, maybe my sophomore year of high school. They sent me sunglasses that were magnetic and connected right at the, like at the,
where the nose eyebrow, is, the bridge.
Right up of your nose, yeah. And so you would take them off, put it around your neck and click them together. I wore those for a couple of years before they broke. Have not found them since. And that was a really cool design.
Boomer does have a pair of reading glasses like that, that click.
Yes,
in
he
the front.
Did. You know what? You're right. He did. I forgot about those because they're, I believe they're three times vision, way too much for me. So I think they're still on my desk. I forgot about those. You're right.
Those clicking things.
That's right, yeah.
Did you ever go when you were younger to the Route 1 flea market in New Brunswick?
No, I went to the Englishtown flea market.
Oh, Englishtown, yeah.
And the Collingswood flea market.
Mm.
Mostly Englishtown.
Yeah.
Collingswood is where I sold when I was 17.
That was outdoors?
Yeah. Yes and no. So it started with a table. When I realized that they had indoor space, and I realized that when it's cold and crappy out, people still come to the flea market but go inside, I was able to get a spot inside. Not a, like they have little like stores in there. This was more, I bought the corner table. And I, man, the amount of money I made that one like holiday season was absurd.
Yeah, the like Route 1 flea market was more like, they weren't just tables. They were like little compartments of, I guess, stores.
They're like mini stores.
Mini stores, yeah.
Yep.
But there was a guy in there that sold, he was actually in the middle of the flea market.
Okay.
He had like a square box where he was in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And there were tables. That,
surrounded was, by four tables or
yeah,
something?
Like, yeah, like, yeah. And he was the baseball card guy.
Yeah.
And I can't, you know, now knowing as an adult, it never would make sense to me and my friend. We would get these card guides that would tell you how much your cards were worth. And then we'd go to the Route 1 flea market. And like, let's say a card was worth $7. The guy'd be like, I'll give you $4. We're like, no, it's worth $7. He goes, no, I got to sell it for $7.
He's got to make money.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was, like, we could never be like, this guy's ripping us off.
No, he's a businessman.
Yeah, he was running a business.
Same way your car is worth more if you sell it by yourself as opposed to trading it in.
Yeah.
Because that they're going to turn around and sell it, but they want to make money on it.
Yeah.
Same thing with your house. Sell it yourself. You don't pay the commissions for the real estate broker.
Right.
You know, same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, the Route 1 flea market, man, we would go there every Friday or Saturday. His mother, my friend Rob, his mother would drive us.
Okay. And it was a thing.
We'd go to the baseball card guy, and we'd go to the wrestling magazine guy.
Sure. What about music? You know, you didn't do music?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, music guy, yeah. I remember that there was a guy who was selling cassettes.
Yes. That's where my love of Bob Dylan started.
You bought just the cassette.
Yes, when I was 17, I remember there was a music guy there who sold, he had not the big albums, the small ones, the 45s.
Singles.
Yeah, but they right, they were those were the 45. He sold those, he sold cassette tapes. And I remember I saw a Bob Dylan's Greatest Hits cassette tape for $1. And I remember thinking, I know Bob Dylan.
Heard the name.
I'm like, for a buck, what the hell? And I remember after my dad had my Camaro at the time, I popped that cassette right into my cassette player. And the drive home, which was about 35 minutes at the time, I was still, obviously it was 17, I was still living with my parents. We were in Old Bridge at that point. Driving back from Collingswood to Old Bridge, I got through a lot of the like first six songs or so, and I knew them all. I just never knew it was Bob Dylan. And from that point, I remember just listening to Bob Dylan that whole summer. Very funny.
All from a $1 cassette.
All from
at
a $1 cassette.
Market.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yep. I used to love the flea market, man.
Very true.
Yesterday, there was a, you know, in my condo, in there's a, you know, all the people that live there, a lot of people aren't there year round, and someone had a pipe break.
Oh, no. We were just talking about this.
Yeah, someone had a pipe break, which got caught early enough. And through dumb luck of me, I went down to my, I had a, think of how dumb luck this was. For the people involved, I came home on Friday or Saturday night. I walked the dog, and I always have a flashlight because I like to make sure I could see the poop to pick up the poop. So this flashlight had been, I dropped it one time. It got run over 100 times before I found it, and it just was very dim. And I remember having a flashlight down in my basement. I was like, I think I have another flashlight down there. So if not for that flashlight fading out and me needing to get my other flashlight, I go downstairs, there's water down there, and all the water shutoffs are down there, so I just kind of looking to see where condos are into which pipes, and I found the one. Neither people were home.
Okay.
The people whose stuff was getting wet and the people whose pipe was responsible.
Wow.
Neither people were home, so I shut it off. So they had to call a plumber. And they weren't down, so yesterday I handled the plumber.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
So it's interesting to see because this plumber dude comes. He had green hair.
Okay.
And he had neck tattoos.
All right.
I was like, this is what I'm talking about.
This is a serious plumber.
This is a plumber. And he did recognize me. He said, do you go to wrestling events? I go, no. He goes, do you go to Jet Games? I said, no. He goes, well, I know you from somewhere. Then I told him. And he was a, you know, Jet fan.
That's cool.
Listener, yeah. But I felt like I was part plumber yesterday because, Jerry, what I did, the plumber needed me to turn the water back on. And this was, he did all this work on this pipe. He goes, okay, it's all good. Turn the water back on. I turn the water on, you hear. It cracked in another.
No way.
It had cracked in two sections.
Wow. So you had to go fix that as well.
You had to go fix that as well.
Now, a situation like that, you're obviously helping out the people that own the place. So do they venue tip money?
Me?
Yeah. No. If you handled it.
No.
And did you tip the guy?
Tip the plumber?
Yes.
You don't tip plumbers.
Why? Why not?
I would never think to tip a plumber.
Okay.
Who else do you tip? You tip the electrician?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Unless it's their own company. Unless it's Al Dukes LLC and Al Dukes comes and I know I'm giving him cash. Yeah. Like if I call, I'm just making up a name, First Energy Electric.
Okay.
And some guy with neck tattoos and green hair shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give him $20.
Really? That never... ever crossed my mind.
So, like, I had the pest control people. They were over yesterday because we had some mice activity 3 months ago. They came to just a check. Guy came back. I gave him $10.
Hmm.
So, okay.
Never even crossed my mind.
Okay.
Clearly didn't cross the mind of the owners either. They didn't send me cash.
So, you look like the cheapo. And that's not your fault by any stretch. That's
well, he
on
knew
those
it was
people.
Not my unit.
So, you're golden then, too.
But I've had plumbers come out. I've never tipped a plumber.
Okay.
It wouldn't even cross my mind. So, okay, plumber, electrician, you said.
Yeah.
Pet, or not pet, pest.
The pest control guy.
Pest control guy.
Absolutely.
But if it's their business, you don't tip.
Yeah, not usually. And if it's their business, I know the money's going in their pocket, especially if I'm giving them, especially when they ask me to write the check out to cash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not tipping them. No, because I know they're going to go cash the check, put it in their pocket, and they own the company. No, but if like a 25-year-old kid comes over or a 30-year-old, I just know he's an employee making whatever.
Hmm. So a guy comes over to fix your heater.
Yeah.
I'm Sarah Austin Jeness, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
Oh, sure.
I'd love to hear from people.
My guy, Joe Schutz, who has helped me when I've had air conditioning issues. Now, I've known him a long time. He refuses to take it. I always try and give him $20, especially when he comes over and doesn't charge me anything. You know, like we're friends, but we're not best buddies. I know him from sports. Great dude. And whenever I bother him, I always try and give him something. He won't take it.
Well, I'm really thrown off right now.
That actually surprises me.
I did not know you're supposed to be tipping all these people.
Maybe you're not. Maybe I'm the dummy. I don't know. I would love people to reach out and let us know.
Yeah. Like if you're a plumber, an electrician, an AC repair guy.
Yeah. Your air conditioning goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Like here's a good example. We have the plan with New Jersey, whatever it is. I forget. Whatever. It don't matter. So we have like the service plan that we pay extra for.
Yes.
Air conditioning goes out, need Freon, whatever. It's the middle of July. Guy comes out, he's sweating his balls off. You give him $20. Would you not give him a tip either?
No, I wouldn't even think of it.
Even in a situation where your warranty is your plan is covering it?
Yeah, because you've paid for that. And the person is, we're tipping, like that guy gets a really good hourly wage.
Yeah.
They're not making minimum wage.
No, I didn't say
that. An AC repair guy.
Interesting.
I asked Google Gemini, are you supposed to tip the plumber? Tipping a plumber is generally not expected or required as they are skilled professionals paid for their service. However, it is a nice gesture to tip $10 to $50 or 10 to 15% for exceptional service, emergency after hour calls, or particularly dirty, difficult job.
Yeah.
Hmm. When to consider a tip above and beyond service? Emergency calls, dirty jobs. Okay.
Yeah, like here's a good one too. So we had, this is remarkable. We had almost a flood in the basement again.
Okay.
Like 4 or 5 months ago. We caught it in time before it progressed to anything terrible because the drain pipe from the pipes in the house, even the bath, like everything, got backed up. And my thought was, too much toilet paper. Like, what are you guys doing? I'm like yelling at my kids. Like, well, I got to deal with this now. On a Sunday evening, a 24-hour place, these two guys came over. And as it turned out, there's a pinhole crack in the steel pipe. And weeds started to form and blocked it. That's what it was. Pulled it out. He left, like, this is what's blocking it. This was great, too. He goes, we can get this sandal for you, though. He goes, what we'll do is we'll dig the trench from here out to the street so that it'll never happen again and we'll close it up and all this. I'm like, okay. I'm like, that sounds expensive. He goes, it's really not. He goes, it's like $5,000.
Oh my gosh.
It's really not expensive. Like, what? Okay. Anyhow, so these guys came out at like 6, 7 o'clock on a Sunday evening in July or August, whatever it was. And they were there for about an hour. I mean, they charged me $400. I gave them $25 each. And I actually thought I was being cheap. So I'm wondering if that's one where, because it's a Sunday evening, it's kind of on the spur of the moment, maybe I should give them 50 each. Maybe I shouldn't give them anything. I don't know.
Yeah. This is very puzzling.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw you off. I'm sorry.
I can't wait to hear from the men and women who work in these industries.
Yeah.
To whether they get tipped.
I'd love to know the percentage of customers that tip them.
Yeah. I asked, are you supposed to tip the electrician? No, you are not required or expected to tip an electrician, as they are skilled tradespeople who set their own rates or are paid well by their employer. While roughly 84% of people do not tip, it is acceptable to offer $20 to $50 or snacks or lunch if they went above or beyond.
Well, then why do we tip the Uber driver? If they are making a good... Now, I understand it ain't... I know Uber takes their fee for sure. But they're just driving us from point A to point B and getting, I think it's 60% or 58% of the fare.
Yeah, I always thought you were supposed to tip if the person being paid was not making minimum wage, like a waiter, a bartender.
Okay, well, an Uber driver's making more than minimum wage.
Right. It's a really weird thing. Like if you, let me ask you this. You bring your car to the mechanic. Are you tipping the mechanic?
So that's an interesting one. At a smaller shop, when the answer for me is yes and no. At a smaller shop that I used to go to, I knew the owner of the shop, and I knew he had two employees. It's two bays. So when I would go, they would explain what they did, and I knew the owner wasn't doing the work. Great dude, but it was, yeah, I did tip those two guys. After he retired and sold the place, I went somewhere else, a much bigger facility. Never really saw the mechanic, and it was more sterile. You went in, you paid your bill, and they gave you your keys. I wasn't going to go hunt down the mechanic.
Which one of you fellas worked on this car?
Yeah, that I didn't do. The only time I did that was when I brought my car in, and I had a flat tire, and one of the mechanics came out. He goes, I can fix that in 5 minutes, and he did. I gave him, I think he charged me $15 to fix the flat, and I gave him $10. But that was like right in front of me.
What about this? You break down, you call AAA. They come and they tow your car. You had tipped that guy?
Yes, and I have. Hmm. Yeah, because when the last time that happened, I was working for Don LaGreca at Sports Phone in Franklin Lakes, New Jersey, and the AAA driver took me with him at 1 o'clock in the morning and drove me 70 miles home. I did, yeah. I actually went in and wrote him. I had no cash. I had no money. I was broke at the time. I wrote him a check for $50, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's the other funny thing nowadays is people don't have cash. So it's even if I know the...
I ask if they have Venmo now.
AC repairman. That's a good idea.
I do.
Even if I know the AC repairman's coming, I don't have... Boy, I'm really feeling like, boy, people are probably like, this cheap son of a...
Or I'm an idiot.
You know, I'm going to figure this out.
You should write a book, a tipping book.
I'm going to tweet.
Al's Guide to Tipping. You know how many people that would help?
Yeah, it would help a lot of people.
It sure would. Because I'm confused by it all, to be quite honest.
I got
to
say, attention, plumbers, electricians, mm-hmm. pest control, and what was the other one?
All skilled service people.
Yeah.
You know?
What percentage of customers, like if you're a plumber and you have 10 stops today, how many out of 10 are giving you a tip?
I've thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, if they're making a tip on 80% of their stops, they're making a lot of extra money.
Yeah.
A lot of extra money. Hmm. One that's always bothered me, and we've talked about this too, especially with the apps now, and I use the Slice app for pizza I will still go pick up food, but sometimes I don't. I hate when they want the tip up front.
I know.
Well, what if they toss the pizza into the driveway and you get the notification delivered?
Yeah, delivered. I farted on your pizza. Right.
Or it's ice cold, or I just...
I know.
I thought the whole idea of the tip is do good service, then I'll tip you based on the service you provide.
Yeah, now it's like, give us a tip and we won't fart on your pizza. Otherwise, we will.
It does feel like that.
Yeah, I know. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Oh, I can't wait to see what the replies are.
All right, good. I'm going to look into that. Hmm.
Interesting.
I'm going to send that. Here's what I'm going to do, Jerry, just to give you an idea of what my day's like.
Yes.
I'm going to send that before I leave.
Okay.
So that when I'm enjoying my lunch.
You'll have something to look at. There you go.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
All right, good.
All right.
And we'll report back here. Oh, tomorrow's Friday.
Tomorrow is Friday, yes.
We'll report at some point back.
My wife's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
She turned 28.
Wow, very young. I know you love them young, Jerry.
Yes.
You love a young one. That is for sure. Happy birthday. Are you guys the same age? You went to school together, right?
We did. I am 3 weeks younger than her.
3 weeks younger?
Correct.
So your birthday was 3 weeks ago?
No, that would make me 3 weeks older than her, you moron.
Your birthday's in 3 weeks, Jerry?
Yes.
That's tremendous.
That was hilarious. Yes, I am in 3 weeks.
All right, warm-up show next. I did that with CeeLo. I was screaming. Then we talked about butts. It was all good. So...
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sack Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.